protection. God is my all and all. God is
God is my all and all. music, musician. Thank you so much. The Bible says, praise the Lord. And everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Saxophone, Dr. Longo. Everything that has breath, as you blow into that instrument, praise the Lord. Organ, as you play the organ, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. With your fingers, the drummer, praise the Lord. With the tambourine and the drums, amen. Piano, praise the Lord. With the piano, we thank the Lord. Praise the Lord with our voices. We thank the Lord for the music that was sang today, those beautiful hymns, How Great Thou Art, amen. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. And then, hallelujah, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Praise the Lord. I thank you for coming today. You have come to the right place. We come to worship and give praises to our God this morning. I was just sitting there thinking, wouldn't it be nice if every pew were filled? It would be nice. And I guess if I were not a Christian, somehow I would still want to, every now and then, stop by the church just to say thank you, God. You know, you would think people now would do that more often. Just stop by once a week and just say thanks a lot. You know, thanks for my health. Thanks for my strength. Thanks for blessing me. With the food I have. You know, just stop by every now and then and say, thank you, Lord, for the, they say it's going to rain today. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the green mountains and the beautiful flowers. But I don't know, maybe it's me, but people seem to be a little ungrateful now. Selfish. And people will do what they want to do. You ever notice that? People will do exactly what they want to do, when they want to do it. You know, God commands us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So, praise the Lord, you came here to worship God our Father today, and I thank you for that. Thank you for that. We're going to look at a text today in the book of Luke. Chapter 17. By the way, that clock is not right on the wall behind you. So don't even look at it. It's not right. Nothing like a clock that's wrong. Luke 17. I don't know if you got that picture that I sent you. Okay, I'm going to call on that in the end. Luke 17. Let's bow our heads as we visit this text today. Father, we just pause for a moment. I ask you to forgive me for my sins, cleanse me, and may the words that I speak be meaningful in thy sight, and may your people get the message that is spoken today with the help of the Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Luke 17, and drop down to verse 11. Let's read this story about what happened to our Savior. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15 says, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Wow, that's quite a story. Ingratitude. Denotes immaturity. When infants, I think about my grandson, Lynn, how he doesn't always appreciate things, you know, what his parents do for him and what we do for him. They have short memories. And their concern is not what you did for me yesterday, but what are you doing for me now? The past is meaningless, and so is the future. Children live for the present. And as we grow up and mature, we learn to appreciate what others do for us. But as we grow physically and spiritually, if we do not learn to express gratitude to others and to God, it's a sign of immaturity. Luke 17, here we find Jesus traveling along the border of Samaria and Galilee. And he comes across these 10 lepers. And from this story, we can learn some valuable lessons about being thankful. Now, why is it that we forget to be thankful? The word thank actually comes from German word, Stuarts. I know you're, I believe, from German descent, as I can remember. I remember you had a cousin named Carlos. Remember that? I don't know whatever happened to him, but my mind goes back as I look at you, and I remember, I believe he was from Germany. Switzerland. He was from Switzerland. Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking Germany. But I remember Carlos wow, how my mind, I haven't said that word in years, and now it just kind of came to me as I remember as a child him being at the school. But the word thank actually comes from an old German word, thangel, which means to think. And it should be easy for us to understand that thinking always precedes thanking. When we receive a gift, it's only when we stop to think of the significance and meaning of the gift that we are led to express our appreciation. And this morning we want to talk about being thankful. We learn to be thankful when we think about the fact of how desperate our situation is before we met Jesus. And I remember some of you out there today, including myself, how you were before you met Jesus. As my mind goes back. Now, the Bible says, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then he entered a certain village. There he met 10 men who were lepers. And you know about leprosy. Leprosy then was probably more feared than it is now. I believe they have some control over it now. New medication has come out. And I guess the closest equivalent to leprosy today would probably be AIDS. The disease of leprosy was a painful disease. But the physical pain was not the most terrible part of the disease. When you had leprosy, it means that you not only suffered pain and misery, and you smell bad because the open sores on your body, but you suffered isolation. People with leprosy were isolated from their family and their friends. They were shut off from the world. They were shut off from their friends. They were even shut off from God, it was believed, in the sense that they could no longer enter the temple to worship. Lepers were swept into isolated colonies, so they banded together as colonies and required that when anyone ventured too close to them, they were told to cry out, unclean, unclean, unclean. Secondly, when you had leprosy, it meant humiliation. And can you imagine having children point their fingers at you and either laugh or run from you in fear? Can you imagine everyone turning their face from you and running from you in distaste when they saw you? Can you imagine having to rely on the pity of people in order to have enough to eat? Leprosy was especially a humiliating disease because those who had leprosy were thought to be suffering because of their sin. They were thought to have a bad relationship with God. They were made to feel like they were isolated from God. Leprosy also meant a total loss of your way of life. You had been literally left to die. Which brings to the final effect of a diagnosis of leprosy. You are dying a slow and horrible death. Your body begins to smell, your arms and limbs begin to dry up, and sometimes fingers would drop off, and limbs would drop off. A horrible disease. Many of us, or all of us today, are dying. We're all dying. And before you meet Jesus, before you met Jesus, you were not only dying, you were dying and lost. We learn to be thankful when we think about the fact of how desperate our situation is before we met Jesus. And number two, we learn to be thankful when we think about the fact of what we have gained. You know, they kept their distance as prescribed by law, but they certainly didn't keep quiet. These lepers' only hope is Jesus, and his mercy does not let them down. And in verse 13, the Bible tells us, they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They asked for mercy. They were not asking for what they deserved. They were pleading for mercy. And the word mercy translates elio and means to help one afflicted or seeking aid. It is an aorist active imperative verb. And the aorist means that they're not only asking for gradual healing, they're not asking for gradual healing. The imperative here is not in the sense of a command, but conveys the urgency of the request. They wanted to be healed now. And in verse 14, so when he saw them, Jesus was so merciful when he saw them. He said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And Jesus in the Bible, I noticed, healed different ways. Sometimes he spoke healing. Sometimes he laid his hands on. In fact, there's another instance in the Bible where he laid hands on a leper. So it wasn't that he was afraid of lepers. It's just that this particular instance, he spoke the word. He wanted to test their faith. He said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And the Old Testament law required that a person who was healed of leprosy was to go to the priest for inspection and proclamation that the person was healed. So by obediently making their way to the priest, the lepers were demonstrating that they had faith in the words of Jesus. All 10 placed faith in Jesus. We learn to be thankful. We think about the fact of what we have gained. And we learn to be thankful when we think about the fact that what was done for us could not have been done by us. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. You would imagine that all 10 men would have ran to Jesus and thanked him for the new start in life. But only one did so. But before we judge the rest of the 9, the question is, what is your own gratitude quotient today? How often do we take our blessings for granted and fail to thank the Lord? In Psalms 107, the psalmist 4 times says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." The one leper who returned undoubtedly had just a great desire to return to his family. He wanted to get to his family just as well as the 9. He wanted to get back to work. He wanted to resume a normal life, but there was a greater need within his heart. He needed to go back. He had to go back. This one leper was different than the others. He did 3 things. He turned back. He began praising God. And he fell on his face at the feet of Jesus, thanking him. Thanking him. Notice in our text that this leper with a loud voice glorified God. With the same loudness and intensity which he had cried out for mercy, he now glorified God. One writer says about the need for thankfulness, when we stop praising God, we start forgetting God. And when we forget the kind of God we have start wondering and start getting hurt. And we are much more likely to take matters in our own hands, to panic, to get impatient, to get discouraged or depressed. But the more you train yourself to be a praiser, the less mistakes you're going to make. I remember a quote by Ellen White. She says, we need to have less prayer meetings and have more praise and testimony meetings. There's something that God loves about praise. He inhabits our praise. He lives in our praises. We learn to be thankful when we think about the fact that what was done for us could not have been done by ourselves. We learn to be thankful when we think about how much our ingratitude grieves the heart of God. As one thankful man worshiped at his feet, Jesus asked a series of three questions beginning in verse 17. Look at verse 17. Jesus answered and says, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? And in this verse, we see two questions. Where were there not 10? And where are the 9? You ever wonder what happened to the 9, what reasons they had for not coming back to thank Jesus? And there could have been as many as 9 separate reasons. Perhaps each man had his own reason for not coming back. Here are my suggestions as to what their reasons could have been. One waited to see if the cure was real. One waited to see if it would last. One said he would see Jesus later. One decided that, well, I never really had leprosy anyway. And one could have said that he would have gotten well regardless. One could have given the glory to the priest. One said, oh, well, Jesus didn't really do anything. And one said, any rabbi could have done it. Or one said, I was already much improved. I was getting better anyway. And in verse 18, we find, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And can you hear the disappointment in Jesus' voice as he asked his third and final question? There should not be any doubt that when we are unthankful to God, it grieves him. It grieves God when we're not thankful to him. Nothing less than heartfelt praise and thanks is fitting when we consider what Jesus has done for us. One day, a woman who was seeking to get right with God said to the preacher Charles Spurgeon, she told him, if Jesus ever saves me, he will never hear the end of it. We all should feel that way. Story is told of two old friends who bumped into each other on the street one day. One of them looked worried and forlorn, almost to the verge of tears. And his friend asked him, "What in the world has happened to you, my friend?" The sad fellow said, "Well, let me tell you. 3 weeks ago, my great aunt, whom I hardly knew, passed away. I inherited almost $100 million. His friend replied, "That's a lot of money." The sad friend continued. Then he said, 2 weeks ago, a cousin I never even knew died and left me $85,000 free and clear. Friend said, "Sounds like you've been blessed." He says, "You don't understand," he interrupted. "Last week, an uncle died and left me $40,000. Now his friend was really confused. "Then why do you look so glum? Why do you look so bad?" And the sad friend replied, "This week, nothing." The conclusion of this story is told in verse 19. Jesus said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole." While all 10 lepers had received physical healing, only this Samaritan had the faith for spiritual healing as well. All 10 lepers were cleansed of the disease, but only this thankful leper was saved. By coming to Jesus, this man received something greater than merely a physical healing. He was saved from his sins. Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well," or literally, "Your faith has saved you." The words here are the same words used to declare the woman who Jesus had anointed at his feet. The Samaritan's 9 friends had been declared clean by the priest, but he was declared saved by the Son of God. There's a difference in language here Jesus used. The word "saved" he used, "Your faith has made you whole or well." It means, "save" means salvation in the Greek. Well, why is it that we are not more thankful? The truth is, we probably just don't stop to think. The cares and concerns of this life choke out our gratitude. Thankfulness then comes only as a result of deliberate resolve to take the time to thank God for all that we enjoy. We learn to be thankful when we think about the fact of how desperate our situation was before we met Jesus. We learn to be thankful when we think about the fact of what we have gained, what Christ has done for us. We learn to be thankful when we think about the fact that what was done for us could not have been done by us. And we learn to be thankful when we think about how much our ingratitude grieves the heart of God. And so, the test today: are we grateful to God in any circumstances we're in? We need to be grateful to God. Many of you know that I have been moving, and I have learned that God has blessed me tremendously. And I learned this week that many times I don't think about how good He's been to me. And I know that grieves his heart. as I close, I was reminded of that when we had just about cleaned out everything from our house we were moving from. We're moving from a four-bedroom, four-bath, down to a two-bedroom, one-bath. Remember I told you that? Okay, so you know what we're going through. And traumatic. Call downsizing, you know, getting rid of things. And we were physically just exhausted. And we had just about moved, we'd moved everything out of the house. And I went to the laundry room area. Linda and I were at the house this week. And the Lord reminded me of how good he has been and to thank him. And we had gotten everything off the walls. I filled up the walls with putty and everything was cleaned and empty, refrigerator empty. I went on the laundry room area, and as I was walking into the kitchen, something told me to look up. And as I looked up, there was one picture on the wall that we forgot to take down, which reminded me of my sermon today. And I wanted June to see if she could put that on the screen. And I know God put that up there. It was the last thing to be taken from the house. I almost walked off and forgot it. But something told me to look up. And I looked up and I saw the sign that my wife had put up there, "We give thanks." I said, "Wow, that's my message for this week. We give thanks. We give thanks." I almost forgot it. I almost forgot to thank him for how good he's been to me, how he's blessed me. Just thinking of this whole move just was a blessing to me. I mean, it's been stressful, but we have too many things have accumulated. Too much furniture. Too much food. We had so much food. You know, we had this big, huge, double-wide refrigerator full of food, Wilma, and we didn't know what to do with it. So some of the food just sat out in the new home, which had a little small refrigerator. Linda didn't have anywhere to put the food. It just sat in boxes. And I had to throw it out the next morning. You know, I just think of so many things. God just extends his blessings to us. He, over and above, you know, the clothing that, I don't even want to talk about the clothes and the shoes. And you know my wife loves shoes. So if you come to our house now, and I advise you not to come now to the pastor's house, because I'll be embarrassed. But stuff is all over the place. Just, there was so much stuff, you know, I had to put stuff in the backyard. You ever see that sitcom, Sanford and Son? You remember how his yard used to look? I told my wife, you know, I looked at the backyard and I said, we're starting to look like Red Fox and Sanford and Son's backyard. You know, it was just so much stuff. And I know God has allowed us to move, because through this move and this stress, he's shown me his mighty power. He's shown me his blessings. He's shown me how to be more grateful of the things that he's blessed me with. He's shown me how to live more simple. He's shown me how to downsize and release some things. And he's shown me, most of all, how to be thankful for what he's blessed me with. And many of us today, we need to be more thankful. We need to have more gratitude. And when I think about the goodness of Jesus and what he's done for me, my soul cries out, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for blessing me. Won't you bow your heads with me? Father, we are here today to give you glory and honor and thanks, Lord. And we don't always do that, Father. Sometimes we're ungrateful. Sometimes we're stubborn and selfish. We want, we want, we want. We save, we hoard. But, oh God, we just pray that you give us a spirit of release this morning. You've been teaching me lessons, Lord, this month as I've had to move. And you've been teaching me how to release, how to let go, and how to be grateful for the simple things in life. For food and shelter, clothing, for family, for church, for friends. Teach us, Lord, how to be grateful and how to respond to your goodness, how to say thank you, Jesus. Lift our voices like the one leper who came back to worship and give you thanks. Lift our voices aloud and say thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, for my health and my strength and my job and my pension and my mind. Thank you, Lord. We give you thanks. There's anybody here today who needs to learn how to say thank you? Thank you, Jesus. You need a closer walk with him. You've been ungrateful. You've been selfish. You've been keeping things too long, hoarding too long. We need to be more grateful. Give us the spirit of release, Father, so that we can prepare ourselves for heaven. We don't want to be attached to anything on this earth. Physically, emotionally, we don't want to be attached, Lord. So give us the spirit of release, the spirit of benevolence, the spirit of giving this morning is our prayer in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. Amen.